podcast of the Capital City Supporters Group. I'm Johnny MacArthur. I'm here with Patty Dornan, giving you reactions, analysis, and hot takes. We missed a week because of reasons, and you know what? It was fine because I don't think anyone wanted to talk or listen about those games anyways.
Yeah. I say as I'm sitting in my, like, I already sent Johnny a picture. I'm sitting in essentially a room with boxes. My desk is a box. My mouse pad is a tote container. Anyway, big apologies to everyone out there for missing a week. I also had a few floods in the house. You know, renovations are going great.
Going super great, super great.
But I spent the night in my house last night for the first time since coming back. So
there you go.
You know, you got to take the wins when you get them. You know.
Yeah. A couple days later than expected, I imagine. Just a couple, yeah.
But bro, we were just living with my in-laws. It was hilarious. It was nice, though, because they were, like, doing my dishes and, like, you know, cool. Making us meals, and it was good. It let us focus on what we needed to, which is getting renos done. So
yeah, they knew the pain.
They did, yeah. Pain. Yeah, it's real great. Real great. But we're happy to be back. So sorry, everyone, that we missed a couple weeks, but we are back now for all of you.
We're back now, and like we said, if we had, you know, had good results in both of those games, we might have found a way to get something in anyways, but because we didn't, just to recap, we won on the day against Vancouver, but of course we lost the war, meaning that Vancouver are going to the CanChamp Finals.
Which is psychotic.
Vancouver, okay. Which is absolutely psychotic, as they are currently bottom of the table, but anyways.
They are going to get blown out so hard in the final.
We say that, but like, anyways, we'll see.
Yeah.
And then, of course, afterwards we drew to Forge.
Late draw, which sucked. I was there.
Late draw after leading from 25 minutes until very close to the end at 82 minutes, 8 minutes from time. We conceded a goal and then proceeded to draw points and remain 2 points behind Forge in the table rather than going above them in the table.
So hate it.
We had an opportunity to have the league in our own hands and we blew it. So we basically, you know, some people might say we bottled both trophies in the span of a week.
I think it's fair. I mean, obviously we bottled one of the trophies for sure.
Yeah,
because we're no longer in the CanChamps. But I don't think dropping points to Forge necessarily bottled the season. Obviously, we're going to talk about it on this podcast. But I think the ball is still essentially in our court, provided that Forge drops points. So it's really, I think it's going to come down to a game of brinksmanship where someone is going to drop points at some point and that's going to be it. So here's hoping it's Forge. But obviously today they won as well, which sucks. But you know, it's what it
is.
Yeah.
On the weekend,
on the weekend.
4-0. Yeah.
4-0, yeah. So
it's one of those things.
They had to one up us. They had to.
Yeah, right. They saw us win 3-0 and they had to do 4. But whatever.
But also, I would rather win 3-0 with a saved PK in the 90 plus minute than win 4-0. So because I think that's hilarious.
Also against a good team.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we weren't exactly playing. We were playing Cavalry, so the only other competition in this league, basically.
So speaking of the run-in, Forge now have Vancouver and then Cavalry and then York to play, which honestly is not an easy schedule. So
no, it's worse than ours. I mean, obviously, like, Vancouver is Vancouver and, like, probably going to be a W, but I think York and Cavs are going to be tough for them. And that kind of, I think, works in our favor because our schedule, aside from Halifax, is pretty good.
Yeah, because then we have Valor next and then Vancouver.
Vancouver. Halifax, so those should hopefully be two wins. And then I would love to see us win the league at Wanderers Grounds. That would actually
God. That would be the best thing ever. It would be like, oh my goodness. It would be
so
like
cathartic.
Right? Like Arsenal winning the league at White Hart Lane. Like it's just iconic stuff. Like I want to see that happen. That would be so funny.
Oh my God. It would be amazing. And also like Halifax is on a skid right now. So like I'm hoping.
Are they really? Hey, let me take a quick look here.
They lost yesterday to
Jesus. Their two wins, three losses in their last five. Oh yeah. Man. Yeah, that's not good.
And they lost to Vancouver 3-1.
Yeah.
Who does that? Yeesh. Who does that, Johnny? Who loses 3-1 to Vancouver?
Oh man, don't.
Brackets in the regular season.
Oh, that's brutal.
Yeah.
The only thing that worries me is that, like, let me take a quick look at this here. So, you know, we talk about these teams that we want to try and take points off of Ford. So, you know, the Cavalry's and the Yorks. For them, I mean, they're really just jockeying between positions 3 through 5 at the moment. Because obviously,
it's much less.
Third is a lot. No, nobody's breaking up past third. It's mathematically impossible. And nobody's breaking up into the playoffs either because that's mathematically impossible. So 3 through 5 are just They're just jockeying for position now, which, yeah. I mean, I guess is a worthy cause and kind of actually is probably more important than I'm making it on to be, because people would love to not have to be in the play-in round, right? They'd love to finish third so that they could go right to the next, the first semi, quarterfinal, sorry.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I think that that is going to be the scariest part of the next, you know, 3 weeks of games is going to be that the fact that these teams, you know, York, Cavalry, and Wanderers are all jockeying and are all really trying to get points up on each other because they're, what, 39, 36, 35? Like, that's that's tight. So we're luckily we're only having to play one of those teams, Halifax, but I'm really hoping that Cavalry and York get it together, and I hate saying this, other teams getting it together, but I do hope they get it together just in order to put up enough points to peel some off of Forge. And also, like, again, I want to see, you know, I think everybody wants to see good football. Like, I know not everyone out there watches every single game of the CanPL, but, like, I enjoy sometimes watching two teams play against each other that isn't ATO. I know that's scary for some people, but, but it is interesting to watch sometimes to see how they play. Yeah. And I would love to see a race. I just want Wanderers to be at the bottom of it because we have to play them. So I just...
Yeah, it's, and the thing is I know, like, because like you said, two of the three teams we have to play are not in the playoffs, and they won't be Valor and Vancouver. Valor legitimately have nothing to play for anymore for the rest of the season. Vancouver, you know, I actually don't know when the final is, so I don't know if they're going to be chilling and resting and maybe looking more towards the final than the
league. I would love that.
So we can look at it this way, that neither of them have anything to play for in the league. However, we can look at it the other way, and we've been in this position where it's like, man, how funny is it taking points off people that are in a race when you're not in a race yourself?
Yeah, true enough. True enough. All right, like I'm looking at the. Sorry, I'm looking at the dates for the 2025 Canadian Championship. October 1st is the final.
Oh, so it's in like a couple of days.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Tomorrow. It's tomorrow as far as I'm...
As you're
I'm on Latvia time. It's Wednesday.
As you're listening to this, it will be tomorrow. So, yeah. Well, then it won't have anything to do with our Vancouver game then. So, forget I said anything, but...
forget I said it.
When I'm in their shoes, I'm just remembering us. Remember 2021 when we finished bottom of the league? But the last day, we knocked out... Halifax from from the playoffs.
Awesome. Which
it was
awesome.
The sweetest thing ever. And so like
good.
They're gonna want to do that type of shit to us for sure.
Well, and they have the chance to do it, right? Like they have the chance to take the title from us and not get it themselves, but give it to Forge. So you know, part of me is obviously hoping that we're our form from this past game continues. And honestly, even the form from the Forge game, like I didn't hate what I saw. Like we made a mistake, you know, late in the game, and it cost us, but I do think that we played relatively well for the people we had on the pitch, right? Like we're also playing our super young back line, zero bench depth. Like there's only so long that can hold out.
Yeah.
So I think that as long as we continue our current form, we'll be good going into Halifax. But yeah, it would suck that's the worst timeline. Halifax beats us to give Forge the title. That is a nightmare fuel.
it's a lose-lose for them because, I mean, you know, they hate both of us.
It's true. I just hope they hate Forge more than us.
Yeah, that's what I also hope.
Just let us have one, guys.
But you're right as far as, like, the form and, like, the Forge game. Like, by the time they scored, like, I wasn't necessarily saying, oh, that was coming. I know, like, some people might have been, but, and I mean, you know, they were peppering us with shots at that point.
Yeah, they hit the crossbar, I think, twice before that.
So it was just it was just very frustrating not being able to hold on. Like we're really good at like not winning games that we're winning. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, it like when we scored at 25 minutes, I was like at first completely elated in the dub. I was like, yeah, we're gonna win. And then I was like, oh no, this is very early for us to score.
This is very early. No, exactly. Yeah. I thought the exact same thing. I was like, there's so much time for them to come back.
Yeah, and I was like, unless we pick up a second one, I think we're in trouble. So.
Yeah. There's, I guess, a couple juicy things to talk about that game. Obviously, Resident Rama should have been sent off.
Yep, 100% he should have been. That was the most clear and egregious reason to get sent off the pitch that I've seen in a long time, honestly.
And, like, Diego Mejia's, like, post-match was scathing. If you didn't read the forward press after that, you should go read it because it was very, very good. He put the refs on blast, basically. He's, like, the explanation I got was that
was like
the first
he missed.
Yellow
yeah, he was a soft yellow.
Yeah, yeah, so he didn't give the second one. It's like
which
okay,
is
so.
Absolute dog shit. Like that
so
is
so stupid.
That is so dumb. And like it's honestly the worst way to like not like because again that happened like midway through early to midway through the game. Like that's a game changer. And again, we're having the referees. Unfortunately, in this case, it was our good friend Bowman. You know, coming in and making those decisions and making the game about them. And it's I don't like it. Again, that's a subjective call that shouldn't happen. You shouldn't look at, like, in the totality of, like, oh, well, I gave him a soft yellow, so I'm just not going to give him a yellow. I'm like, the second one was more egregious. Yes, you may have made a mistake. Okay, fine. You made a mistake in the first yellow, but that shouldn't preclude you from giving a second yellow for an absolutely egregious tackle, like
especially when it's like a stone cold yellow, like it's not even a questionable one where you could like
the argument could be made away. if it was like if it was on the fence, like you could make that argument, but there was it wasn't no so again it's just classic Canada soccer.
Pathetic Canada soccer referee display yet again. Cannot say that we're surprised. There was also a mention in the forward in the post presser about Forge players yelling at Diego Mejia, our coach, like expletives at him. I gotta say that is very much on brand for
on brand.
Forge.
Classless, AFC. Absolutely
very,
classless.
Very toxic club from the fucking top down. Everyone knows it. It's just gross. It's really gross. I can't imagine like players ganging up and yelling at opposing teams' coaches, other than in a situation where they're clearly like the privileged favorite child of the league, that they get away with everything. They're like the spoiled. They act like spoiled kids. They act like spoiled kids because they
well,
are.
When everything's
well,
yeah, exactly. When everything's kind of handed to you and you don't really have to like work that hard for it, like of course they're gonna have that attitude.
Yeah.
It's something that I really dislike in modern football. I do like the fact that like leagues like the Prem have really clamped down on it over the past 5-10 years. Like I think it's important to keep the game on the pitch, because yelling at the opposing coach is just it's amateur, it's not good, it's not nice. Like it doesn't add to the game. It literally does nothing except cheapen the league, in my opinion.
Exactly. And it's almost like, you ever seen like a kid like disrespect other adults and their parents don't do anything about it, and then you're like, man, the reason your kid acts like that is because they got really shit parents. That's the vibe I get when
are you
I
saying
see...
Forge's shitty parents is the Canadian Premier League.
Exactly. I'm talking about the coaching staff. I'm talking about the whole culture of that club.
Oh,
it's
disgusting.
Toxic to
it's
the bone.
Absolutely
it's
disgusting.
Gross. And that's why they act that way. So
yeah. So they can continue being the like gross, disgusting villain of the league, opinion.
Good for you. Well, you know what?
Let's shift away from
crappy games.
Johnny,
talk about a good game.
Yeah, let's talk about a good game.
Cavalry FC 3-0. Iconic scoreline between these two clubs, isn't it?
It's a classic. It's a classic because we own Cavalry at home
we
and abroad.
We own Cavalry at home and away.
I love it. Honestly, a game like this is just peak. And I think all of us, I was telling Johnny before we started recording, like I honestly think that this is the type of game we needed as
a
fan base.
A
we needed this game. And the boys really, really put on a show. And it wasn't just like a kind of like, oh, maybe we win 1-0 or a 2-1 or like maybe even a 2-0, but it's tight. No, this was an absolutely utterly dominant performance by ATO. Cavalry had basically no counter to what we were putting out there. Their pivot was trash. They really couldn't absorb any of the pressure from our high press. And especially once you got guys like Balu and Sam Salter and David Rodriguez really working their way from the outside in, and then our wingbacks, you know, whipping crosses the whole game. Like, I loved it, man. Our 3-4-2-1, just it was amazing. It was just such a good strategy for us to bring to the pitch.
Well, it's kind of a classic between us. Like, there's always, in our 3-0s, there's always at least one goal a little bit later. Mm-hmm. At least one. Because it's always like they press and they try to get back into the game. So they start attacking too much. They leave it too open in the back. And then we counter-press. We counter-attack. And that's what we saw. It was great.
Yeah, we did. Yeah,
just push the dagger even further, you know, like front to throat.
That was so good. And I think that a lot of that came down to the fact that we had Two attacking midfielders plus a forward, and we were able to work the ball through the center a little bit better than, well, a lot better than Cavalry, if we're being honest. And then utilize the wing backs as well for like an outlet. I know a lot of people have been maybe talking down on ATO strategy, which is very possession-based football, but I also think that as time has gone on and we've tightened up, our positioning, we've tightened up the pass accuracy. I think that we have seen a huge market shift in this team and the way that we're able to move the ball forward and not just counterattack, which was kind of the ATO football for a long time, was just counterattack, absorb, 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 and then counterattack. This is ATO breaking down the opposing defensive strategy and making their own opportunities. And we saw that with not necessarily the Sam Salter goal. I think that was just a huge error. But also, I think it was Lane was the one that did the error. But with Balotelli, both of his goals, like that was just ATO absolutely demolishing whatever defensive strategy Cavalry had and using our advantages as advantages in their third of the pitch.
And the thing is, it's like when we're playing against like a Vancouver or even Forge, now that they've wised up to us, I mean, they really, like Vancouver especially, they really park the bus against us and force us to be slow and methodical. And maybe that's when you can stifle us, right? That's how they manage to get results against us. Whereas Cavalry comes to play, and then that leaves them a bit exposed. Honestly, I would love to play a final against Cavalry. I would hate to play a final against Forge or Vancouver. That would be the most boring game that we've ever seen in our lives.
Yeah, I think that is part of the package though, and I'm really hoping that the league, I'm not putting my tinfoil hat on and saying conspiracy theory, but I would love to see like an actual good game of football, and not just a who is going to eke out a goal in the 87th minute because it's just a game of park the
Yeah,
bus.
just nerviness. Yeah. So yes, the goal, the first goal, the pass back to Lang, which he did not want, and he did
No,
not
he did
handle very
not.
well.
And it was pretty clear why.
Salter takes it expertly, rounds the keeper like prime R9, and then slots it in with the weak foot. I'm not gonna lie, I was having horrors. I'm like Darwin Nunez misses
Yeah, you're not wrong, man. There's a reason he's not with Liverpool anymore.
So I'm looking at that. I'm seeing him on the weak foot, and I'm like, oh, I hope he sinks it. He buries it. Of course he does, because he's Sammy fucking Salter. So we started off on the great foot, and then we just sort of kept it up, honestly. And they kept it up as well. It was a good game. They had their shots. They had their chances. They had probably just as many chances as we
But
did.
they also don't have Nate Ingham, so because my God, what a game he had.
Yeah, he did. Nate Ingham. There's a reason why he made Team of the Week. Let's look at some of the actual stats here. So three saves, fantastic, and obviously a save penalty as well, which is the talk of the
Bro.
town.
When they called that penalty, I was like, "Fuck!" Like, I was like, "Here's we're gonna give up the clean sheet. Here's what happens."
Yeah, but you know what they say? They do, as they say, ball don't lie. And watching from home, I was like, "That is not a pen. It wasn't even close.
No, it was
Never,
not. It was not.
never, ever was that a pen." And yeah, the fact that we saved the pen, I was just like, the football gods smiled on us. They said, "No, there's
Yeah,
no way."
they were like, "That was a stupid call. Absolutely not. You're not scoring." And I mean, obviously, part of it is Nate being Nate. And I mean, I gotta give credit where credit's due as well. I think that our defense played well as well. When we're talking about the fact that we were outshot almost double, but 13 of their 21 shots were off target, so
Exactly, they were
we
trying
were
long
forcing them
bombs,
to yeah, we were forcing them to take long bombs, right?
and also blocked shots. We blocked five of their shots. Yeah, they had 9 shots outside the box. None of them hit the woodwork. It was just, yeah, they were running out of ideas,
Well,
very
that's
much
just
running
it.
out of
And I think
ideas.
that honestly, I think that is part of how we broke down this team was like you frustrate them so much that they don't know what to do at that point. Like nothing they were doing was working. Which I love to see because, it's the team that won the league last year or won the playoffs last year,
No,
so
exactly. You could tell it with like Ali Moussie as well. He was getting very
Oh,
frustrated,
love to see
to the
it. I love
point
to
where
see that guy frustrated.
he started
I
acting like a
love
little
that.
piss baby at one point,
Yeah,
and I
a
was like,
little
"Oh
piss.
yes, oh yes, we love that."
There's a classic Ali Moussie.
And I mean, for good reason. I mean, their first break at the beginning of the game, Intigne should have passed that to him, and he should have tapped that in. Like they
He
should have been
should have.
1-0
Oh my
up at
God,
the beginning.
I was shocked. Absolutely shocked that that didn't happen.
And then nothing he tried was coming off. They just kept, you know, banging the
ball.
Yeah,
he had a couple headers that were pretty good, but he just couldn't get them on target.
It was not coming off. What I love about looking at our stats in this game, and obviously we know that stats only tell some of a story, but a stat like the fact that we had no accurate crosses.
Zero. It literally says zero, brackets, 0%.
0%, which is great because I'm like, well, clearly that wasn't really like a game plan. We were like, no, we're playing on the counter. We're playing up through the middle. We're going to bang it up through the wings, and we're not just going to – it's not like when we were playing Vancouver where we're just going to aimlessly cross balls into Sammy and hope that he can get his head on the end of one.
But also, if I look at this stat, technically, if we had zero accurate crosses but we also had zero crosses, isn't that 100% of our crosses were also accurate?
I think zero were let's say yes. I'm gonna say yes.
Thank you.
89% pass accuracy, we love that.
Yep.
He's a funny one. Offside zero times. It's kind of like honestly, we don't really mention this ever. I don't think we ever have. I don't really remember a lot of instances where we've had like unfortunate offsides called against us. I think we're actually really good at timing runs.
Yeah, I think that we are. And I also think that a lot of teams that we play against in this league are also horrible at an offside trap. So
yeah, they're parking the bus. Like no one's playing a high line trying to trap.
Yeah,
us.
They got their CBs like chilling on the byline by the goal in some cases.
Not their bus parking.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean you're right. Yeah, we didn't really have any. I mean we didn't have any offsides. Tons of interceptions though, which is great.
Yeah.
10 of them, which is awesome.
Lots of clearances. Yeah, because at some point they were like we said, they were just trying and trying and trying and trying. And the fact that, you know, we led in all passing stats, all defense stats, but they led in all the shooting stats kind of just tells you everything. And even though we still had 3 goals to 0, so they were just like desperately, desperately trying to get through. And I feel like that's just Tommy against ATO historically.
Oh, we are 100% cavalry bogey team. We are 100% their bogey team. We are to them as York is to us.
Yeah. In our history, we have 10 wins to their 4.
I love it.
It's going to take years before they can possibly even that up.
What a great stat.
Years, man. Years. No.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, like, I don't know. Like, what did you like to see out there? I mean, as far as, like, what did you really like to see for Ottawa that game?
The return of Balu Tabla. I know it's been coming, as you and you'll talk actually more about this. You're the Blutherin of the duo, and you've been calling it. So
brother, I have been calling it, and here we are. 2 goals, both of them just beautiful goals. And also it was great to see like after the goals, him going over like you know like celebrating with the fans. And like I think it's really really good, and I think it's the tail end of a really cool character arc in this case, because he was excellent and then he went to Turkey and really didn't play a lot and then came back here and a lot of people were doubters and they were like, well, Blues, you know, inconsistent, blah, blah, blah. But I think that over time he just needs time, man. Like honestly, like we saw it this season that he just cleared it out, and we saw it this season he took longer than I think most of us wanted. But at the same time, like, he is here now. Like, look at his stats in the last, you know, 2, 3, 4 games. Even when he wasn't scoring, he's still playing excellently, in my opinion. And now it's paying off for him in 2 goals. I mean, it helps to have, obviously, David Rodriguez and Sam Salter. But it is really nice to see Balu back in form.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, those two were the ones that assisted his goals. But it could something be said for him playing? We mentioned us playing against a team that was playing this style of play that sort of gave us more space on the break and gave us more, you know, attacking options through the middle. Do you think that Balu also maybe just benefits from that? And it's maybe he's not great at like holding possession and trying to pick the lock of like a defense. You know, he doesn't really have the IQ for that or the. Whereas if you like have less time to think and you're just like on the run, maybe that's like his time to shine.
Yeah, I mean, you could make that argument, but I honestly think if you look at the 2 goals that he had this game, you've got, you know, one off essentially a rebound that he managed to put in the net, and then you've got the beautiful just cross way forward of Balu where he ran onto it and scored. So, yeah, I mean, theoretically you could make that argument, but I do think that Balu has proven not in necessarily goal scoring or inside the 18-yard box, but I think all of us have seen him put a little bit of magic on when he's dusting a defender. There was a game, I think 2 games ago, where I just remember I watched him like Jordan Wilson's favorite word, nutmeg defender. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, this is like Ballou that I want to see, is just that style of play. Very creative, very like fast on his feet, and confident. And I think that he's maybe lacked a little bit of confidence for a long time. And I think that this is finally helping him get his mojo back. So yeah, I mean, is Ballou the best under pressure when there's a lot of defenders on him? Maybe not, but I'm interested to see where it goes, because I think that we've seen enough now that like I trust him to do what we need to do. And it was also nice to see him not just rifling a ball into section Z, you know, like way up in the nosebleeds.
Yep.
He didn't really do that this game either, so it was great.
Yeah, the first goal, I believe it was a deflection, was it not?
Yeah, it was. It was a shot, and then it went off a defender's foot. But the
shot still.
It's got to have the speed,
It was low, it was hard, and it would have gone in even if it didn't hit a deflection.
Well,
at least it was going on target.
Him, right?
And so that's why I was like, that's so great, because, you know, all season he's hitting the field goals with those shots, right? So the things that we've been talking about all year, which is like, man, just stay composed and like don't smash it. Just like put it down to the bottom corner. Yeah, that's what he did both times.
We need a scalpel, not a sledgehammer, Ballou.
Exactly. Like,
and also, look what happens when you do that.
Yep. There you go.
Two goals.
I also love that he's getting back into the habit of like taking on his defenders and drilling right to the byline and cutting back.
Yes.
That's how we got the goal against Forge.
Mm-hmm.
That's the type of stuff that we need him to do, you know, to not be afraid to take on defenders and then get to the end. You are going to have at least one or two players in the box waiting for you to cut it back to them. That's what we've been doing this year. So
And Ballou, I think, has the footwork to be able to do that. And he's got the speed and he's got the game vision that he can see those people. So I want to see more of that. I want to see more of this. I love it. I love it. I love a good redemption story. And I feel like that's where we're at right now with this guy.
Yeah, cutbacks. I think cutbacks need to come back on the menu in a big way in the last few games of the season, especially once we go into the playoffs, because Ballou can do it. D-Rod can do it. We've seen Antonoro do it a bunch of times.
Yeah, Antonoro does it like
get
every
down,
game.
Get down, and then just get your head up, and then just cut it back, because there's going to be someone there. Sammy's going to be there. D-Rod's going to be there. And then we need those cutbacks and tap-ins. You know, classic, like, remember like 18-19 Man City when you're just cutting, like, you know, Sterling cutting back to Aguero five times a game? Like,
yeah, you were just getting fleeced. Every other club was just getting absolutely fleeced.
So that's what I love. A low cross back into the box and there's a tap in from the circle. Let's just keep spamming that.
Yeah. Keep spamming that strategy.
Yeah, please.
Football manager style. Let's go.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think there's anyone I can talk ill about in this game. Everyone was fantastic. I want to shout out to Kozlowski for getting under Fraser Aird's skin all game, getting bullied by a 17-year-old. And I got a text from another buddy. He's like, Fraser Aird being ex-Rangers, it makes so much sense based on the way that he's acting right now.
Yeah. 17-year-old just... getting under the skin of a 30-year-old.
Like, this guy has played in Old Firm derbies, and he is getting friggin' fleeced by Quebec's own 17-year-old Sergei Kozlovsky. Like, grow up.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's a level of maturity there, for sure.
Yep, yeah, yeah. Frustration, I think, honestly, if I would give Cavs' performance a name, it would be frustration. I mean, they weren't able to progress possession. They were exposed when we stretched them out wide. I mean, obviously there's defensive errors. I just think that, and again, they just didn't have an answer to anything that Diego was putting out on the pitch, because every time they tried to adjust, it's like we just drove the knife in further.
And it must be very frustrating for them, because I know for them, you know, halfway through the season, they're like, oh, we're bringing back Dan Klomp. Like, the defense is back. You know, we're going to be able to stop like some of these big offenses now that we're bringing back like one of the best CBs in the league. And then they come and then lose us 3-0 again anyways.
Situation, no change. Oh my God, that's so good.
Yeah, so I do not understand why Carducci is consistently named as one of the top keepers in the league. Honestly, when I see games like that, I'm just like, what are people seeing in this guy?
Well, the second goal was, I rewatched the highlights today with my daughter, and she's 9, and she was like, why didn't he move to save that? And I was like, bro, you're getting dunked on by a 9-year-old who like, like, why didn't he move to save that? Like, I don't know, man. He just put his hands on his face.
So funny. I mean, because that was a deflection, right? So like, you
for sure,
you get caught wrong-footed, but it is still very funny when
it is hilarious.
When it's just like, and someone mentioned it actually in the match thread on Reddit, because when we do well, I tend to go looking in those.
Of course.
And someone's like, I don't like how Marco yells at his defenders every time he concedes a goal, as if it's like everybody else's fault.
Well, because that's how he plays. It's never Marco Carducci's fault, you know. Yeah.
It's so funny because when Nate like concedes, he's just like classic like hockey goal. He just looks up to the gods and he's just like, "Fuck!" Yeah. He's mad at himself. He's mad at God. He's not mad at Loic Kluche or Noah Botne. Like, he knows he's got to be like a captain and a general and a leader of men, and he doesn't just squeal at all of his players every time he concedes.
Don't do that.
Oh my goodness! Yeah. Who else are you seeing as a standout here? We got 7 minutes of Noah Verhoeven.
We did.
Do you remember who that is?
I mean, not really.
Buddy, 100% accurate passes. Put some respect on his name.
Yeah, his four passes, 100%. It's got no defensive stats. Like,
so it's just so funny. If you're Tommy and then you see Noah Verhoeven coming on, you're just like, oh, this game is over. Like, this is what this coach thinks of me right now. That
he's like, let me bring on this kid.
He could have put out the ball boy if he was allowed to. Like, he would have done that legitimately.
I feel like he probably would have.
I want to save everybody.
I mean,
else
the ball boy
week,
probably is the same same age as the average age of our back line, so.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, no, I mean, if I have to pick some standouts, I mean, obviously Gabby had a game. Mm-hmm. I really like Manny. I liked how Manny was actually taking some shots, some really hard shots from top of the 18. It's something that we've seen him score with in the past, but at the same time, you know, unfortunately it didn't really pan out for him this time. He did almost have that goal though. They got goal line cleared, which was stupid as far as I'm concerned. It's like stupid. Yeah, I think it was Dan Klomp too.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, stupid Dan Klomp. Mm-hmm. How dare you take away a goal from our precious Manny.
Right. So we've got three league games plus playoffs.
Yep.
We need a Koke Castro goal.
Oh my God, we do.
I need it like I need air. I need a friggin' thunder
just a world,
piss
a worldie,
missile,
exactly.
Right? Yeah. I need one of those.
As Johnny would say, just a piss missile from like the top of the 18.
I need that. So Salter gets goal number 18. 18, yep. Right? I think on the season in the league.
Salter, let's find
out. Let's take a look here. Keep me honest.
Johnny, I'm rapidly searching.
18 goals in the Premier League.
18 goals.
Yes.
There you go.
So he's two away from reaching 20. We got three games to go. Do you think he can do it?
Yes. Yeah, 100% he can.
I think he can get both of them against Valor.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. He probably could get both against Valor. But even if he splits it, you know, you're splitting between Vancouver and Valor. I think Sammy hit. Busts 20. I think he's just driving right now to like make a point, like, and also make a record that's going to be extremely difficult for anyone to break. Mm-hmm. You know, he's already broken the previous record, and now he's just laying it on, and I love it honestly. Even seeing his face, like the replay of when Lane made that error, and like seeing Sammy come out around him and like his face, I was like, bro, this guy is locked in. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Like, holy.
It's wild. Like, here's a guy playing with so much confidence, and for him, like, it's just the movements he's been doing is like seriously elite. Like, there's past years, a couple years where, like, you know, he wouldn't be totally there. Like, he might have bambied a little bit. Maybe he would have a bad touch and then would ruin it, or he'd shoot it off target or right at the keeper or something. But that look in his eye to round the defender, drive the ball like maybe 2-3 touches, take it away from the keeper, and then hit it with the weak foot in from the tight angle is just, there's no stopping him. He's the best striker in the league.
You can't. He is the best striker in the league, but who's talking about him? No one. Not one soccer, let me tell you.
It's very
funny. The only thing they're talking about is whether or not he's going to go to FC Supra.
I know, right? Jesus Christ. I remember when there was a Golden Boot race. You know, that was ages ago. That was months ago.
Hey, you remember that, Johnny? You remember
still
when there was a Golden Boot race?
They're still trying to push, like, Thiago Coimbra and Julian Altobelli as, like, Golden Boot candidates. But they're at, like, Julian Altobelli has 9 goals.
9.
Sammy Salter has
18. That's not even close.
Thiago Coimbra has 11.
Yeah, 7
it's
goals.
It's done and dusted, and it's been done and dusted. So give him the trophy now.
Yeah, just give him the Golden Boot, and let's
get that
over with.
Get that above 20, and then get yourself an unbreakable record. That's what I want to see.
Yeah, let's see that.
Hell yeah. All right. You want to head to the mailbags?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's all do right. it.
Cool. All right. Well, you heard enough from us. Now it's time to hear from you. CCSG mailbag. So we have, I guess, sort of a combo. Oh, yeah. Sorry. There we go.
What do you got there? What do you got there?
I'm
got
drinking that? A near beer. I'm drinking another Sleeman Zero this time.
I'm drinking
you got the Asahi.
Asahi Super Dry.
I love that stuff.
It's so good, dude. It's so good. It's one of the beers that I love, like when it's like super, super cold.
Any of those, like when I go to KBBQ or like sushi or something, and then I get to have like the Japanese beers and the Korean beers. Oh my god, they're
solid,
so good.
Solid. Yeah.
It's so funny that you said that, because I saw this post on Instagram today where someone was making a T-shirt and then they were like unpeeling the press and it said like, "You mind if a white boy speaks a little Japanese tonight?" And there was like a can of Asahi. And I'm like, that's me. That's
top.
Me.
That's top tier. I love that.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, anyways, mailbag. So, yeah.
Yeah. Welcome to the mailbag, everyone. This is the part of the podcast that we enjoy probably more so than we should. You can send in questions, statements. There's some rant. I think there's a rant. The rant guy's back.
Oh, which yeah.
is great. There's some poems, songs, whatever you guys want to send in. We'll read it. We'll laugh at it. We'll make comments. But it's the best part about being a member of CCSG is you get a whole section of the podcast for you only.
And we got sort of a collection of last week and this week. We didn't want to ditch everything from last week because I know people want to get their stuff on the show.
Indeed.
So yep. You will. I'm going to start this off. What does it say about the culture at Forge that older, more experienced players are running their mouths at opposing coaches? That's a good point. It's not just any player. It's older, experienced players that should be setting an example, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I think if you see players that have been around, I think of in my mind, if I'm like an old CPL player who's like seasoned and mature, I think of like Drew Becky. Like, to me, like that is like archetype of what a seasoned league player should be. And I cannot, like, yeah, okay, Drew Becky's gonna yell at a referee once in a while, that's fine, but I cannot see him yelling at a coach on the sideline.
No, absolutely,
like, I can't
not.
See that. So
far too much respect.
Yeah, exactly. So to me, if you see older, more experienced players engaging that kind of behavior, I think it says more about what's going on within that club than it does about them, right? Like, they are in a position where you've made that into acceptable behavior. Because, like, if I'm Bobby Spiriniotis, I
shudder to think.
I shudder to think. But if I'm Bobby Spiriniotis, like, I'm hauling the entire team off to the side and being like, that was unacceptable. Like, that will never happen again. But what he probably did was like, oh, nice one, man. So,
right? That's the vibe I get, dude.
I know, it is like the vibe. That is the vibe. So I just think it's, again, it's classless. It's amateur. I don't like it. And I just, you know, it's fine if we do it because we're fans. But if you're a player and you're on the pitch, like, you can't be doing that.
Yeah, that's Forge to a T.
Yep. Okay. We clowned on him for saying this, and he lost his job immediately afterwards. But given their CAM champ run, was Afshin Goat be technically correct that Langley FC is the best last place team in the history of the league? I hate that this is probably true now.
Well, I mean, it's objectively true. They've made, they're the first CPL team to legitimately make a Canadian championship final. It's fucking absurd.
Why? I don't like this timeline.
And the thing is, it's like, remember when Wigan made this FA Cup final against City and they fucking won? Like,
yep.
What if we see something hilarious like that? Like, I'd be,
I mean,
so
it would be
down.
It would be kind of funny. And also, like, again, are we VFC fans now, Johnny? Because they're playing against an MLS team. Is that what we are?
It's so funny because I'm like, okay, on the one hand, do I want them to go down because they took us out, or on the other hand, do I want them to win so then we can? Sometimes there's honor getting knocked out by the team that eventually wins
yeah,
the thing,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah,
like so. I mean, I'll cheer for it a little bit, I guess. Why not?
You know, a couple days. Let's see how it goes down out in Vancouver.
You know, like it's also like it's not like it's Forge or York or Halifax. If it's them, then obviously I want to see them get smashed, no matter who they're playing. But if it's someone
100%.
Like Vancouver, like I can enjoy it.
You know, it's kind of those like little... you don't kick a guy when he's down.
I would love to see the team that finishes the bottom of the CPL win the fucking Voyager Cup. Like, I would.
What would
that
say about the MLS, though? That would actually be really funny.
I know. It would be so good.
Well, I guess we'll see tomorrow.
Yeah, and I mean, technically, this run was the result of Marty Nash coming in. Let's be real here. But,
I think he's clearly like turned that club around. So it had nothing to do with Gopi. Gopi was terrible. So you can say they were the best team, but they were the best last place team, but not under you.
It's just so funny how clearly that club like kind of recruited like pretty well. They recruited pretty well, but we just didn't realize it because they had a terrible coach that didn't know how to coach the players
so
whatsoever.
Toxic. Absolutely toxic. Yeah.
So then when someone half competent like Marty comes in, brings them to the fucking cup final.
Yep. Well, all right. Well, I guess we'll see what happens.
Guess we'll see, yeah. I feel like we're going to see 90 minutes of just the most brutal terrorist football that we've ever seen in our lives.
Oh, and then if they eke out like a injury time winner, it's so
I
want to
see it. I want to see it.
Yo, you've converted me. I kind of want to see it too now.
Let's do it. If Ben Hoskins was an advertisement on One Soccer, he would be balls, underboob, and butt. I'm not going to lie. I don't know if I get this like reference.
It's pretty funny. That's very true. That guy
sucks. I don't know what else to add, but that guy sucks.
Sucks.
Definitely.
All right. This is
fucking hilarious, by the way.
Okay. Let me read it. I honestly haven't read these yet. Yeah. So, what do trans girls after a year of HRT and Brian Wright have in common?
What?
Neither of us can finish.
I wonder who sent that one in.
Oh, my God.
Thank you for that.
Jen, you are a gem. I love that.
Dear Lord.
We got our Brian Wright out of the
way. We got the Brian Wright dunk out, and it was probably one of the best ones we've ever had.
Solid.
Yeah. Did Ingham's penalty save matter more for the clean sheet or just for the humiliation factor?
I mean, it obviously matters to the clean sheet, but I think it really was humiliation. Like, how do you, like, It's one thing to miss the net, but, like, the chance of a keeper guessing the way that the shot's going and also the level that the shot's going, and, like, it's very small. And I think, you know, we saw them make a huge error. And I love to see it. Yeah, it's great seeing Nate humiliate this team. It's just a classic 3-0 versus Cavalry.
And it was good to get the clean sheet because we've been lacking in those recently.
True.
But it was also just because I was in the match channel on the other Canucks Abroad Discord, just because when we're doing well, I like to go in there and talk my shit. You know how it is.
It's like when we're doing well, I go in there. When we're doing poorly, I just ignore
the internet. Yeah, no, but when we're doing well over there, I'm doing the thing, and it was just so funny to be like, oh, we got a consolation, let's go, and then just see that hope get dashed immediately, be like, oh.
Absolutely not.
I loved it so much.
Don't let the door hit you on the ass on the way
damn
out.
I hate fucking Ottawa.
Yo, how salty do you think they were on the plane ride back to Cap?
You know they were
amazing.
And this is when I'm seeing stuff like this, I understand why Cavalry fans are so coaches, staff, players are so weirdly salty with their hate against Atletico Ottawa.
That's true.
if a team did this to us every time we played them, I would probably feel the same way.
Bro, that is literally York for us. We are
exactly,
like, having
exactly.
irrational hatred.
That's
that
why
club.
We're so irrationally salty about everything York United, because of this type of thing.
Although,
so,
to be fair, this
it.
Season, York United has really been a non-factor, in my opinion. Like,
it's probably our
to,
best season against them.
Yeah, compared to previous seasons, it's been good.
100%. But yeah, anytime anything bad happens to us, even if it doesn't involve Cavalry, it's always one of their fans that's first to like pile on with the memes. It's like, dude, this doesn't even involve you. Like, what do you like, they just it's a chance
to get a jab in on us.
It is. And I know like the term rent free is way overused, but I mean that's kind of exactly what it's made for.
Yes, exactly.
love it.
Okay, Ottawa beat Cavalry 3-0 on a roughly 2.0 XG. Is this just overperformance, or should they just give us the shield now?
It's funny enough, I would say scoring 3 off of a 2 XG is not that much of an overperformance. Like, you know, we've scored 3 on
it's
probably,
a little bit, but it, yeah, you're right.
We've scored 3 on like a 1.1, 1.2 XG before. It's just, you know, Carpoopy had a pretty shitty game, so like it's
Carpoopy. I also heard him called Cardonchi, which is also really funny.
I'm just busting out the Christianisms here. But yes, no, it was, I mean, I don't think it's an overperformance, maybe just a little bit, but we just had really good finishing and they kind of like gave us one too, right? So let's be real here.
They gave us the go-ahead as far as I'm concerned. But.
Yeah, and so the Shield, one trophy that we haven't mentioned is the Cup, mostly because we've got, you know, a bit of a PTSD with the playoffs, one being, you know.
And now we're in the semis against Forge.
Yeah, exactly. We posted that we've clinched a home playoff game, which is true. If we win the league, then the first game will be at home. If we finish second, then either we win the first semi and then host the final, or we lose the first semi and then host the second semi. So there is going to be a home playoff game. Regardless.
Could you imagine how good it would be to host another final in Ottawa, though?
As long as it's not against like Forge, I don't know if I could handle losing a final at home against Forge again.
No, it's not going to be. I've already decided it's not going to be.
I would also just love another final, have a single final that doesn't involve them in any way. That
I would
be
also love to have
first.
A single final where we actually win the cup. That would also be great.
Yeah. So as much doom and gloom as there is about, oh, we bottled both trophies in a week twice against the same two teams. Let's be real here. There is also a chance we could go on a run for the cup. So don't count us out. Don't count
yep,
us out.
Agreed.
You know what the best part of that game was? Ingham didn't just save that penalty. He looked smug about it. Listen up, lesser teams. That's ATO saying, you frauds don't even deserve a pity goal. Get absolutely nay-nayed, you shits.
And nay-nayed is spelled N-E-I-G-H, like a horse.
Like a
which
horse.
Is really funny.
Good touch. Very good touch. I love a touch that's just meant for us. Like, we didn't have to tell everybody else about that,
yeah,
but it made us
great.
Laugh.
It's great. I love it. These are the kind of, like, golden nuggets that we get sent on a regular basis.
Oh, yeah.
And I also love that it's just a sentence. It's not even a question.
I will join in the nay-nay.
Yeah. Given our performance versus Forge, followed by our dominant showing versus Cavalry, which is more real, in quotations, for this club? The gritty back-and-forth draw or the confident 3-0 win?
Well, we covered it earlier when we said that we played two completely different styles of football across those two games, didn't we? I mean,
we
Forge,
did. It was night and day, man.
Forge found out how to beat us.
Then we found out how to counter their counter.
They learned, you know, the blueprint had been set about probably a third, halfway through the season. Halifax did it. Vancouver did it. They're like, all right, if you like park the bus, force them out to the wings, don't let anything come up through the middle, and then hit them on the counter, and maybe, you know, take lots of shots, then you can probably get a result against these guys. And we've had that happen to us a few times this year. But Tommy, bless his heart, was like, no, Calvary's going to do what Calvary does. And it's like me playing Football Manager when I do the same tactic every single game.
Zero change.
Zero change. Always on attacking. And so it was a blessing for us. So both of them are what you would expect from our team against those styles of play, I think. They were both pretty iconic, 2025 ATO.
Yeah, and it's honestly nice to see, especially after we lost to Forge earlier in the season. Like, I think that it is nice to see that Diego has it within him to really evaluate where our weaknesses are against a team like Forge and adjust to counter them. You know, it's the opposite of what Cargo was when he was here, where it was just like, you know, same button over and over again. You know, press F to pay respects. Like, that was literally like what he was doing over and over and over. And it's like, man, you got to change it up. And I like to see that Diego is able to make those changes and then also keep the core of what has made ATO 2025 ATO 2025.
Yeah, it's wild for a guy that changes a starting 11 as little as possible. He is extremely pragmatic with his tactics and his
But I
approach
do think
to
that
the game.
He also he doesn't change who's on the pitch, but I think often he will change how they're used.
That's what I'm saying. He's very, very willing to adjust his tactics to the opponent, but even though he has the same guys out there every week, like that's how much of a unit we are. That it's like, I know what you can do. I know you can play different ways, different situations.
Yeah, you play this way against Forge, and I will use you this way against Cavs because it's slightly different, and this is better against them. You know, like I think that just shows the maturity for him as a coach, which is nice to see in this league because obviously, like, we get a lot of like quote unquote junior coaches, and he came from a, you know, acting coaching job in Mexico to like here. And his record wasn't exactly stellar in Liga MX. So, like, I think there was a lot of doubters, and I think that most of them are silent now, which is really good to see.
Yeah, the fact that he's got a team playing this well gelled together after, less than a year in like
Yeah, I was gonna say, this is his first season.
first season. It's one of the shortest seasons in world football. We have half of a new starting 11, including an entirely new back line. It's just, hats off to the whole coaching team and Diego especially for like being able to get a team playing this way. It really is
Yeah.
incredible.
Amazing. Amazing.
If Salter wore a Forge shirt, people would be calling him the best striker in CPL history. Instead, because he's in Ottawa, half the league pretends not to see it. This league is truly anti-Ottawa.
I mean, they're not wrong, honestly. Like, it really is, if you watch a One Soccer broadcast and they talk about the league, when they talk about Sam Salter, they talk about his goals, and then they talk about where he's going next. It's never like what he's contributing to ATO. It's always like, oh, well, he's doing so well. Like, where do you think he's going to go after this? He's amazing striker and like blah blah blah. But like, I don't ever hear them talking about how he blends into the team. And I think part of it is just because the league doesn't like talking about Atletico Ottawa.
Or they
I
just talk
did.
down his achievements and be like, that goal shouldn't have counted,
Oh yeah, the
like
whole
Jordan
like, oh
Wilson
my
did.
God, this is karma for him.
This
Blah
is
blah blah
karma
blah
for
blah.
getting the goal. Shut up. Anyways.
Shut up.
Anyway, sorry, I
Shut
interrupted
up,
you.
Gareth
Keep going.
Wheeler. You shut up. But no, it's true. Like honestly, like I think that if he was a Forge player, like that he would be on Canadian Premier League posters across the country. But instead, because he plays for us, here we are. Not that I would change that because I'm so glad that he is with us. And for all of you guys out there like me, that was absolutely shocked that we paid a transfer fee for Sam Salter. I'd say we're getting our value at this point.
Well, I mean,
So
look
yeah.
at so I'm looking at something right now, which a lot of people actually listening to this might not know, because this record was, none of our players had ever really approached this in any sort of way beforehand. But after that goal, 18th of the season, Samuel Salter is actually the single
Oh,
holder of the
yeah.
most goals scored in CPL history with
Yep.
44. He
Yep.
has the
So
most
there you go.
goals scored in CPL history. That's
So we'll
more than.
take all those penalty kicks he took from Halifax and he got the record with us.
That's Alejandro. That's over Alessandro Diaz, Taron Campbell, Tristan Borges, Tobias Warszewski, Ali Moussi, Brian Wright, Mo Bobuli. These are names that our media is constantly throwing in our face as iconic players of this league. And none of them have scored more goals than Sammy fucking Salter.
In the history of the league and also in a single season. Like
So
he's a double record holder at this point, and the fact
put
that
that in your pipe and
yeah.
smoke it. Do you
Yeah.
like apples?
Exactly.
How do you like them apples?
I love it. I love it. I love it. We're talking with Sam Salter for that too. And
Hell
all
yeah,
the
dude.
Salter stands out there, you guys are probably having the time of your life. Actually, you are having the time of your life because a bunch of you are in the dub and I love seeing Sam
Yep.
Salter score and turning around and seeing like all of the Sam Salter base, like being like, oh my God, Sam Salter.
Hell yes. I can only imagine how great it must be to be that one guy who was the only Salter stan for like 2 years, and now the whole dub is doing the salt bait. Christian, I'm talking about you, pal.
Yeah, I was gonna say that is literally Christian. I stood next to him at the Forge game.
Oh,
love that
Jesus.
guy. He's great. All right. Would you rather Ottawa win the Shield but choke in the playoffs, or finish second but knock Forge out in the semis? Ooh, a little this or that, Johnny.
But the that doesn't ha and doesn't automatically involve us winning anything, which
That's true.
scares me.
That's true.
If
I guess what they're saying here is like, would you rather us win the Shield or win playoffs?
Well, no, because it says or finish second but not forge out in the semis. That just gives us to the final, and then who knows what's going to happen in the final. We could
Yeah,
win
that's fair.
nothing.
That's fair. I am reading too much into this question.
Yeah, I know it. Basically, what this boils down to, and is what I always think, based on having PTSD about playoffs in general, is that I would kind of just rather win the Shield first off,
Yeah, just to get out
so
of the way.
that just to get silverware out of the way, and then the playoffs is whatever.
That's gravy, yeah.
It was like when we lost the final against Forge. I was like, okay, yeah, we didn't have a trophy yet, but we were still officially recognized as winning a title.
We
So,
did have a trophy. It was cardboard.
which
I saw the
exactly,
picture.
exactly.
And
But yes,
then we
so
took it to the bar after.
then we took it to the bar after. So that does soften a blow. Winning the regular season softens the blow about whatever happens in the playoffs. So I would much
Yeah.
rather. It's almost like an insurance You know what I mean?
I think I agree, honestly. It would be nice to just have something, something's better than nothing, and then to go into the playoffs with like hopes, but not, if we lose, we lose.
Because I mean, even if we knock Forge out of the semis, we could still be playing Cavalry, we could still be playing anybody in the final, and then, who knows? And then it would be at home, and then would we be embarrassed with another home final loss? I don't know. I wouldn't want that.
No, we wouldn't, because we would win.
Well, of course.
Obviously.
Of course. If you're building a shield contending club, you start at the back and Nathan Ingham is the foundation. He doesn't just save shots, he saves points. He saves momentum, and sometimes he straight up humiliates our opponents like he did this week. Hats off, man. Absolute rock in goal.
Yo,
That's right.
that's put a period on it, man. That
Yep.
is exactly. Honestly, that's how I felt all season.
That's why
And
he's all
even
state
when,
Nate.
well, yeah, that's just it. Like even when he's making mistakes, it's like, I don't know. Like I because of his general performance, I almost overlook a lot of those. His as people say, like his poor long ball delivery, or that, egregious error that led to a goal a couple games ago. But at the same time, like I do honestly think, hands down, he is the best keeper in this league. Absolutely the best keeper in this league. Not only from
Agreed.
like a keeping standpoint, but as a leader, like I think he's incredible, and I'm so glad we have him, because this would be a different podcast, Johnny, I think, if based on his performance this season. Like he's been on Team of the Week almost every single week.
Needs Team of the Week again this week.
Also this week.
But I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, how many games have we been like, "Ooh, we got bailed out today."
A lot.
Bailed out
Too
by
many.
Nate Ingham, yeah.
Too many, including this game. Like I know we were winning, but he saved our clean sheet. He really did. Yeah. All right. Okay.
Hit
All
us with the rant,
right.
baby.
I'm gonna hit us with the rant that I received on Instagram here. Okay. Rant incoming. Yeah. To
That's how
every
you
single
know.
Balu Tabla hater out there, hold that. Seriously, with two hands, one for each of Balu's goals this week. How many times do you need to watch this man dust defenders before you stop with this "he's inconsistent" crap? Patty was right over the past few weeks. Oh, thanks. And the Beleutherin Reformation is now complete. My man had back-to-back daggers, and both had Cavalry's backline ball watching all the way to the back of the net. But fear not, lost souls. There's room in the house of Balu, even for his most ardent doubters. Beleutherinism is a forgiving faith, and there is still time to convert before the playoffs. And if you can't see it now and resist his word, after he just body bagged Cavalry, you need new eyes and probably a new sport. Balu Tabla's here. He's scoring, and he's making every single one of his haters eat their own words. And honestly, it's beautiful. Vamos, let's get that shield, y'all. Yes.
Well done. There you go.
Love it.
I
Love
love
it.
that. I love that.
Also, Balu redemption arc. I love it. It's nothing better than that.
We love like a passion for a player that everybody else, is hating
He's
on a little
doubting.
bit.
Well, I
And
mean, Sam
then,
Salter, like we talk about Christian and Sam Salter. Like
right?
the
It
man
pays
got
off in
Salter on
dividends.
his jersey, and I was like, "You're an idiot." And then now I'm like, "Yo, I wish I had Salter on my jersey."
Honestly,
In
and now he's breaking the single season like scoring record and like you're taking pics of him with
the
your
end up,
daughter.
yeah, exactly. And I'm like, "Oh, he's the best." I even told her
Exactly.
today, I'm like, "Sam Salter scored again." She's like, "Nice." I was like, "Yes."
Yes. But no, it's the best. We live for people who stand individual players like this, who stick by them when times get rough, just because they know it's going to be that much better once they actually come good. And
Yeah.
that
And here
makes
we are.
Tabla coming good just feel so good.
Yep, agreed.
I'm gonna read the poem this
Yeah,
time.
you deserve a poem once in a
Yeah, I
while.
haven't had
Let's
one in a
go.
while. I'm gonna take this one. This one is from last week, but he's like, this was the same one because it still rings true. The path to the Can Champ is sealed. We lost our best chance at the Shield. With that title ambition in a parlous condition, there is yet one cup left to yield. Note, this poem was written as an alternative to simply submitting the Tu Puta Madre referee song because Johnny said no.
Johnny's like our he's our cat he's cast and editor of
Yeah. I
he's
like the
like absolutely
spirit. I like the spirit.
listen,
But I can't just
it's
say
no, you
that.
can't, but also it's hilarious and largely true when it comes to officiants in this league.
Exactly. Great mailbag. Thanks, everybody.
Oh, awesome. Great job, everyone.
Obviously, we knew there was going to be a great one after this win, so we're almost kind of glad that we just waited, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Next match, Sunday, October 5th, Valor FC away. They have just been the final team eliminated from playoff contention. So as we said, they have absolutely nothing to play for, except to possibly be spoiler against us. So we'll see. Golden Scarf nominees are in. So based on everyone's nominations, the top three are basically exactly what you would have expected. They are David Rodriguez, Sam Salter, and Nathan Ingham. So stay tuned in the coming weeks for
Gabby
articles.
Gabby robbed, y'all. Gabby robbed.
I mean, good shout. There was a couple that could have been in there, definitely. I'm sure that third spot was pretty close. I mean, it was going to be D-Rod and Sammy and then someone else. So
yeah, exactly.
It was always going to be close. Stay tuned in the next coming weeks because the Writer's Shed will be putting out articles for each of these three lads to state their case about if they think that they should win. As usual, contribute to the Pulse. Some little league-wide news that you've probably seen now. We have a new local-ish rival coming to the league next season.
Yeah, we do. Man, away games are going to hit different.
Y'all are going to take buses to Laval next year, and you're going to meet up with me, and then we're going to go watch FC Supra du Québec. This is cool. I like this a lot. Obviously, if you are at all familiar with the old CSL.
I was going to say, I love the throwback. That's great.
Yeah, the throwback.
The logo is dog shit, though.
It's not the best.
It's so not bad. I think someone posted that like S that everyone drew in high school.
On the desk.
And now I can't unsee it.
I do wonder if it might look better on a shirt than it does alone as like a PNG graphic. I don't know. We'll see. We'll hope. I hope they do some throwback kits. Those old super kits are fucking sick.
I don't like that they like have basically the same colors as us, but
yeah, well, I mean, there's gonna be a lot of blue for them for sure. It's definitely gonna be blue and red. I think that's probably what they're gonna do.
That's acceptable.
It's definitely gonna be like Palace or like FC Basel and like Swiss, like that type of thing. That's what I'm thinking that we might see. Who knows? At the launch event, they were wearing these. They like redid the actual old Supra kits just without the original advertisements on it. So it had like the OG Supra logo on it. It had the OG like 80s like white pointy like collar, which looks so dope.
That's sweet.
And I'm like, just bring that back.
Oh, bro! I saw a kid today. We were at Costco, and I saw a kid today wearing an ATO jersey, which was sick. And I was like, nice. I also saw a guy wearing a Fury shirt too, which is sweet.
Nice.
but yeah, I saw this kid wearing, but it was the collared one, and I forgot how nice the collars are.
Last season or year one?
Yeah, last season.
Last season,
The collar, like, oh man, so nice.
Those were
good. Collars on a football kit, so good.
And we also had the long sleeve kits last year. I feel like that's the only year in our history we've ever had the long sleeve kits, and I love them a lot. They look
so
good.
Bring them back. That's solid. That's a solid choice.
They're good.
But also to quell the rumors out there, because I know there was a bunch of chatter on Discord and also chats. Johnny will not be leaving to become a super stan, mostly because it's in Laval, and like, who wants to go?
Yeah, everyone's like, are you going to leave CCSG and then go like be? And it's not just Joey asking me recently today, but I've also people on Discord were also saying that on the other one. They were like, oh, are you going to now? You get to leave and then be like in this Montreal team. I am not leaving CCSG to be a supporter of a Laval soccer team. I'm sorry.
Hell yeah, bro.
I have no
Hell
connection
yeah.
to Laval whatsoever. I am not,
but he does have a connection to me.
There you go. Exactly. I am not spending an hour plus each direction to take a metro and then a bus to Laval.
That's psycho. That's how long it takes. Like, that is insane. Laval is basically next to the island of Montreal. It takes you an hour to get there. That's nuts.
Different island. I'm not doing it. It's not Montreal. I'm sorry. Everyone's saying it's a Montreal team. It's not. It's a Laval team, and I'll defend that.
But also, I think that if they're going to build a distinct identity, they should build it around Laval. You know, I know I made the joke earlier. They were like, oh, like, Laval has all this good stuff now. And I'm like, yeah, but, like, people that have, like, get all this stuff have to live in Laval, which is true. Someone from Montreal, like, we used to make fun of them. But, yeah, it's good. I'm glad they're building that out there. I think that's really awesome.
Yeah, and there's a reason I think they branded it just Quebec rather than Montreal
or Laval.
Which is
going to be awkward if another team in Quebec pops up at some point, which it probably will.
Yeah,
because like, what's the Quebec City team going to call themselves?
Right. Yeah. No, it is a weird one. Who knows? We'll see. Yeah. I mean, you know, we've got plenty of examples in Europe of, you know, two club cities, and then one club takes the name of the city, and then the other one is the random other name, whether it's a neighborhood or just something else. So maybe it'll be something like that. Who knows?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, again, I would be okay with that. But yeah, I'm just glad to see a club in Quebec. I think it's really, really awesome.
Yeah.
I think it's really cool too that they are taking the kind of like Athletic Bilbao like model, where they're like, oh, we only want to sign Quebec players, or primarily sign Quebec players, which I like, but also I hate, because we have a bunch of them on our
team. Are we just, none of us are going to be able to get them anymore? Is it like?
Yeah. So, and also we have our connection with CF Montreal, and also I hate that Super is probably going to like muscle in a little bit on that just by virtue of proximity, but either way, I'm just glad we have finally have a team in Quebec, and this league is finally like truly Canadian Premier League.
No, agree. I do wonder if they will have a relationship with CF Montreal, because like,
I hope it's a very like animosity. I hope they hate each other.
Well, I wonder, because I mean, you know, when you look at like Pacific or Vancouver FC, they don't have any relation to speak of with the Whitecaps. So I wonder if they would be the same thing. If CF Montreal would rather send their players to us than send it to Super, type of thing. Like, I wonder if Joey still owns the copyright to the Super logo, and that's why they have to get a new one. That type of thing. You know, I don't really know what that relationship is going to be like.
Yeah, but I guess we'll see. I suppose, but. I mean, I think it's going to be fun, like a sick like Montreal derby between Supra and CF Montreal, if it ever happens in the CAN champs. Yeah. That would be really sick.
It would be super sick. I'm looking forward to a possible future where the Centre Sportif Claude Robillard gets like renovated, and then they can actually play in Montreal, like the old Super used to do. That would be great, because that would be right on the orange line for me, so away games would be
John is
so
like,
crazy.
It would be convenient for me, so they should probably do it.
Well, I mean, obviously, they still can play games there. I went there to watch Laval, the League One Quebec team, play Toronto FC. Remember in the CAN champ a year or two ago?
Yeah, yeah.
I was at that game.
Nice.
And it was fucking lit.
That is sweet.
It's a good classic old stadium. It's just not quite ready yet for a CPL level team. So yeah, we'll see if that happens in the future.
Who knows? But love it. Love to see Quebec have a team. Love to see that province represented. La Belle Provence.
Speaking of league-wide news, but this time on the clown show level, there was rumors.
Oh my God, I know exactly what you're about to talk about.
There was rumors that York United were getting rebranded again to Inter Toronto.
Inter Toronto FC Athletic Club. What a terrible, terrible rebrand.
We've been told by insiders there was a meeting with supporters before their last game, where apparently they were told that this won't happen as soon as 2026. So we know that at least next year they will still be called York United, but there is probably, because it's, you know, it's pretty quick turnaround to rebrand all of your kits and all your stuff, but apparently they are going to be rebranded to Inter Toronto.
That
so
sucks, dude. That
it's
sucks
so
for their fans.
Jokes. It's so jokes.
It sucks for their fans. Like, honestly, I have to give York credit where credit's due. Their logo is actually pretty tight. The YU is like pretty cool with the antlers or whatever. Like, it's pretty sick. And they've built an identity around it, and the fact that they're rebranding to Inter Toronto, like that.
Have you seen the logo too?
And the logo sucks. It looks like a Tesla logo.
it's so bad.
Like, why would you do that to yourselves?
It's
like,
truly
again,
horrendous.
Talk about shooting yourself in the dick. Yeah. Like, literally, that's what this club is doing right now.
Yeah. It's just, I don't like, okay, for.
And they already struggle. They already struggle in a market with TFC. They already struggle. So, like, why are you doing a Vancouver FC? Like, why are you doing that to yourself? Like, you don't have to do that.
It was so weird, because it was always, oh, are you going to be like a York region team, even though you don't technically play in York region, I guess? Or are you going to be like a Toronto team, because you know, one of your kits had like the shadow of the Toronto skyline on it? It's like, what is your identity? And now I guess they're going full-fledged into being a Toronto identity. And, like, are you picking Inter because you want to attract some of the Italian population? You know, I guarantee you over half of them probably do not support Inter Milan. So now you're just alienating AC Milan fans. You're alienating Napoli fans, which probably is larger represented than any other Italian club there. So what's the point of this?
Not to mention all of those people probably are TFC, because, like...
Yeah, they're probably already
that's
TFC
the draw.
Fans. Yeah.
So you're going to say, like, Inter Toronto is the new Toronto? Like, it's dumb. It's a dumb rebrand. Like, it's so stupid. And it's insane for me to think about, like, This happened in a boardroom somewhere with like actual adults
Yeah.
who were like, guys, we should just rewrite. Like, it's
Again.
so stupid. It's so stupid.
I do love how York fans, by and large, are leaning into it because they know how absurd this is. They're like, yeah, another rebrand. Maybe after the World Cup, we'll get another one. Like,
They should just call themselves like,
York 9
like,
rebrands.
yeah, York 9's coming back. Enter York 9
Yeah.
United.
I love it when you can take the
so
piss out
bad.
of yourselves because you know that it's just like a little bit silly. That's what it's all
Yeah,
about.
for sure, for sure.
Okay, well, yes, Valor away on Sunday. I got high hopes for this one. I hope that
Me
we can
too.
go to Princess Auto Stadium and f***ing smash them. I would love
Let's
that.
do it. I would love to see that. Oh,
Especially.
it's Princess. Oh, it's Princess Auto Stadium now.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought it was still IG Field, but
No, I
okay.
think it changed this year.
All right. Well, it shows how much I know about Winnipeg.
I know, right? Like, I'll trust you. I'll trust you.
But the good news is, I'm pretty sure my buddy Calvin will be there
Nice.
because he lives in Winnipeg now, but
Dope.
he still goes to the Valor games with his ATO kit on,
Hell yeah.
like a G.
Even when ATO's not playing, I wonder.
probably.
That would be very funny. Dude, what do you do? And obviously the day before, Forge play Vancouver. If Vancouver nick points off Forge and we
Oh my
go into
God,
that
can you
game being like,
imagine?
oh, a win could put us top, that would be oof. Must watch stuff.
Top tier, top
Yeah.
tier. Marty Nash, if you're listening, because we know you are.
Do it, baby. Do it.
Do it. Just do it for us.
As a guy who's ex-Calvary, ex-York, I know you hate fucking Forge. Take points
Yeah.
off of them. Do it
Now's
for
your
us.
chance. Now's your chance.
Do it for us. All right,
Do it for the
buddy.
kids.
Yeah, do it for the kids. Well, I'm really excited about this. Hopefully, we got a good episode next week. I will talk to you next week. Hopefully, we are on time the same way that we were this week. This is gonna be our first
Yes.
Tuesday drop in like ages.
Oh, it is. It
We're
is.
back,
It is.
baby.
All right. All right, buddy. Well, all right.
Gonna stay. Talk soon.
Vamos.
Vamos!